All right, we're going to take a moment to pray. We're going to take a moment to pray. Then we're going to get into God's word for us for today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from you and to be challenged by you, because this week it's going to be challenging. And it's real. And it's very big picture. And so we just ask that you would open us up and help us to be attentive to you and what you would have for us, why this is important, all those things. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for slowing down and taking time to teach us these things about eternity as we think about parables. We thank you for all that you taught us about following you, including teaching us to pray. And so as we prepare our hearts to pray back to you the way Jesus taught, we're reminded words are on the screen, and sometimes we do need to look at them, Lord. I know I do. Sometimes I memorize things, Lord, and then my heart's not in it. God, I want my heart after you. And for each one of us, that our hearts are after you, not just our words. So, Heavenly Father, hear us as we pray back to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're in this series called Summer School. We're learning from the truth. The truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we're learning from him as our teacher, as he shares these parables. People would have questions. I don't know if you have questions of Jesus, but I know I do. Jesus, how does this work, and how does this work? Well, what we find in Scripture is that when he was asked questions, he seldom just answered the question. He made it more powerful. He made it more rich and deep when he would ask questions back. He'd ask questions back to make the person who was asking the question think clearly about what they were asking. Or he would start telling a story to reveal clearly what the answer was, if we would pay attention. And so he said it to those who would pay attention. Now, the truths of today's parables are going to affect us for a long time. They're going to affect us for a long time. So if you would grab your notes, make sure you've got those in front of you. Let's start with a definition of a parable. As we're winding down the series, got another week left, but as we're winding this down, let's be reminded of our definition of what a parable is. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. If you'd write that down, earthly, heavenly. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus would tell things that would make sense to people. And then he would tie that in with the things of eternal that it's so hard for us to understand. And so he was clearly the master teacher. And he would say things like, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you about the kingdom of heaven, because he was telling about things of eternal, things of eternity. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been ill-prepared for something? And you knew you were ill-prepared, but you were hoping nobody would find out. Maybe you were walking into a test and just praying, Lord, help me to know things I don't know so that I can pass this test. Well, I walked into a wedding rehearsal once, and it was kind of it kind of happened quickly. They were getting married. I can't remember. I think maybe he was military or something. But anyway, I just remember it was going fairly quickly. And I walked in ill-prepared to the rehearsal. And I admit it. I mean, there's times that I've too much going on up here, and I'm like, wait a minute, who am I dealing with now? I had a moment where I couldn't remember the groom's name, and I didn't prepare well enough to have it written down. So I'm like digging through papers, trying not to be obvious. I called him the wrong name. That was awful. It was terrible. And he had to look at me and say, Pastor Stan, it's okay. Never again. I will be prepared. I will find a way to be prepared. I will learn names before we get to the rehearsal, okay? Sometimes I don't know them until we get to the rehearsal, but when we get to the rehearsal, by golly, I'm going to know those names because I'm going to be prepared. Ben Franklin, I'm just going to give this to Ben Franklin because he quoted a lot of, I don't know if it was him, but he says, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. So we need to be prepared, and there's things we need to be prepared for. And what Jesus talks about today is he shares this parable, as he starts sharing this story, this parable of the 10 bridesmaids, he's talking about something very big that we all need to be prepared for. We can't forget the name. We can't forget who we're talking to. We can't forget what we're dealing with. We need to be fully prepared. And Jesus makes this clear. So pen at the ready. We're going to write down a couple of actors as we go. I'm going to pause and just reveal those actors, and then you can write those down. Okay, we're in Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 1. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like..." Pause. Right? Jesus is sharing something. This is a simple story. Everybody's going to kind of understand it. But this is kingdom of heaven that we're learning about. "So the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom." So, pause. So Jesus is saying there's going to be a wedding. And this was not uncommon. This was common for them. There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be bridesmaids who prepare and make sure things are ready for the groom to arrive, okay? And so there's going to be a wedding. The groom is coming. It's the responsibility of the bridesmaids to have things prepared in case it gets dark. The party needs light. They're going to be prepared. So he's telling a story, and everybody's going, "Oh, yeah, there's always the bridesmaids that are taking care of this for the groom." Got it. So we go on. Verse 2, it says, "Five of them," talking about the bridesmaids, "five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil." So the first actors, you have the five foolish bridesmaids. Just write down five foolish or whatever. The five foolish bridesmaids, why were they foolish? They did not have enough oil for their lamps. They weren't prepared in case the bridegroom was a little later than they expected. They ran out of the olive oil was the fuel for the fire. If you don't have enough fuel, you don't have fire. And so their lamps were going out, not prepared. And the first actors are the five foolish bridesmaids. The second are the five wise bridesmaids. Why were they wise? Why are they wise? They were prepared. They had enough oil. They were ready for just in case. Okay? And so they were ready. Let's keep going. Verse 5. It says, "When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.'" So here's the third actor. Now we have the third actor. The first was the five foolish. The second, the five wise. The third actor is the bridegroom himself. Now this represents Jesus. This represents Jesus in his second coming. He's coming again. He's coming for those who follow him, those who are prepared. Which means that we, all listening to this story today, are the bridesmaids. Or some are prepared, and others are not. We go on, verse 7, it says, "All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.'" Okay, so what are they doing? Like, it's midnight, they're waking up, they've been sleeping, they realize their lamps are going out, they don't have enough, the bridegroom's coming, they're hitting the panic button. Like, oh no, I can't do anything. I don't know the name of the groom. I don't know. What am I going to do? I'm out of oil, and I have nowhere to go to except for these others who are like, "That you've got extra. Can you help me out?" So again, they're ill-prepared. And it's the moment, it's that moment that they realize and it hits them, I'm in trouble. I'm not ready. Verse 9, it says, "But the other five bridesmaids replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you.'" Verse 13, Jesus speaking, he says, "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." He's telling a story. It's an earthly story with heavenly meaning. And so, just hold on this for a second. So this is parable. This parable does not have a happy ending for all of them. The five foolish bridesmaids were not prepared. They were short on oil. And by the time they got back to the wedding feast, it was too late. It was too late. They were locked out. "I don't know you. The kingdom of heaven is like this." Jesus, again, very clear in his speaking, very strong in his speaking. Here's the thing. He He's telling a story and saying, listen, friends, this is urgent. Prepare now for your eternity before it's too late. Now, this parable, as we listen to this parable, it's short. It's not very long. 10 bridesmaids, 5 foolish, 5 wise. Jesus tells us very quickly. But this parable is genius. It is a masterpiece. And it's a little bit scary. Pay attention to how many things the 10 bridesmaids have in common. None of them were shortchanged except by their choice. So think about the things they have in common. First, all 10 received an invitation. They were all there and waiting. They'd been invited. And here's the thing. God invites us all to salvation. Like everyone. Through Jesus on a cross, all 10 bridesmaids received an invitation to the wedding feast. God wants all of us. He really desires all of us to be in heaven for eternity. Therefore, he doesn't hide it how to get there. He doesn't hide it how to be in relationship with him. He tells us over and over and over again, here's how, here's how, here's how. You can't say I never told you because I told you. And so we all have this invitation. Second thing they all have in common, all 10 responded to the invitation. They all responded to the invitation. They all wanted to attend. And I think we all want to go to heaven. I think. Even people don't believe there is a heaven. Like, I don't believe there's a heaven, but if there is one, I want to go. Right? Like, we all want to go. Next, all 10 bridesmaids were excitedly waiting for the bridegroom. Even the 5 foolish bridesmaids, they didn't hate God. They weren't atheists. They were there and they were excited to see the bridegroom. Finally, don't miss this. All 10, did you catch this in the story? All 10 of them fell asleep. It wasn't like the 5 foolish ones fell asleep and the 5 wise ones stayed awake. No, all 10 fell asleep. What does that mean? That we're all human. That we're all weak. That we all have flaws. We all have the things that cause us to fall asleep and take our eyes off and we're not ready or we don't think we're ready or whatever. But we're all flawed. We all fall short of the glory. They needed rest. And they all had, all 10 of these bridesmaids had 24 hours in a day. It was all the same. It wasn't like some were perfect and some were flawed. They all fell asleep. So they were similar in many ways, all except one. One way. 5 were prepared. 5 were not. 5 were prepared for the groom to return. 5 were not prepared. And we get to choose. So here's the action, if you'd write this down. So we got all the actors. Here's the action. Prepared for eternity versus unprepared for eternity. And it's our choice. The action is I get to choose. And I get to take action to make sure that I'm prepared for eternity. Or I'm going to take action to make sure I'm unprepared for eternity. And so prepared or unprepared. Jesus says there may be people who have heard about Jesus and even like the teachings. There may be people who attend church. They've attended all the time. And even believe Jesus is the Son of God. And like the bridesmaids, they have responded in some way to God's invitation. I've responded to that invitation. But they're not prepared to meet him. Do you understand? Like, I like him. He's out there somewhere. I mean, I appreciate him. I'm glad I get to hear about him. But I'm not prepared in my heart to meet him. There's people who are good. They are good people with good intentions. They've never experienced that inward change, that transformation. They've never surrendered to Jesus. They've never laid down their rights to themselves and taken up a cross to follow him. They've never said, I am no longer Lord. They've never repented of their sins and saying, that wasn't just a mistake. That was a sin against your holiness, God. And you had to send your son to die for that, what I want to call a mistake, but you call a sin. I'm taking it seriously now. You get to be Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you in your ways. I'm going to take time for you. I'm going to take time for you. There's a lot of people who attend church. There's a lot of people who even believe he's the Son of God. But they're not prepared to meet him. They haven't put their whole weight on him. I trust you with everything I have. I've given you lip service. I've said all the right things. But I still have a lot of other things I trust. I trust Well, I trust my own wisdom. I trust my own money. I trust that I live in the right country or that I have the right politics. I trust that I have this and I trust that I have that. But I kind of trust you, Lord, but I really trust in things that I can see. That's unprepared. Unless we've had that interchange, that transformation, allow God to transform you, then we're not prepared. For this person who is good with good intentions, this parable is a warning from Jesus. There's no more dangerous place to be than to think we are going to heaven and we really are not. That's why Jesus tells this short and brilliant parable. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you're going to heaven, but you're not really sure? Do you think you're ready to meet the bridegroom? Are you ready to stand before God, but you're not? Maybe you think, but I jumped through all the hoops. I did all the stuff. I attended church. I believed in God. I'm generally a good person. If you believe that those are the things that get you to heaven, well, according to Jesus, that is just not how it works. This parable is clear. On the outside, these 10 bridesmaids appeared exactly the same. Invitation, ready, excited, got all those things. But when the bridegroom returned, the difference was evident. And the 5 foolish bridesmaids who thought they would attend the banquet were left out. This parable poses a question to all of us. Am I prepared for eternity? Am I prepared for eternity? As your pastor, and as of today, I'm your pastor. As your pastor, I don't want you to spend another day uncertain about your eternity. I want you to be sure. I want everyone to be sure. Like everyone here knows, I know how to be ready for eternity. I want to be ready for eternity based on Jesus. I want all of us to be prepared for eternity. So according to Jesus, that's what we're going for. So today, 4 truths about our eternity to help settle this question, am I ready? Again, according to Jesus, not what I think, what Jesus says. Okay. So, 4 truths about eternity. If you would, in your notes, 4 truths. Here's the first one. One day my life on earth will end. That is true. I'm just telling you. One day my life on earth will end. You know, throughout history, human beings have tried to figure out, how do we live longer? Like, how do I live? Is there a fountain of youth? Is there a way that I can just live forever? Is there a way I can just stay healthy as I can be and I'm just going to live on forever? I'm not saying we shouldn't be healthy, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do the best with these bodies and make sure that we're caring for them so that we can live as long as God wants us to. I'm not saying that. A while back I was reading, there were billionaires who were investing. They were investing millions and millions of dollars to scientifically solve death. So far they haven't gotten there. And so here's what I've done. I've looked at statistics and I've discovered that not just now, but throughout history, but also now, like there's a consistency about this, and statistics show that the human death rate is 100%. We all die. And if we're going to be prepared for eternity, I have to start to accepting some things. I have to accept that my life here on earth will end. It's not going to go on forever. So no matter how you slice it, this life is short. Even if I live 70, 80, 90, 100 years, compared to eternity, it's a drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the ocean. Compared to eternity. Like, hear me on this. the vast majority of your life, because we're all immortal and we will all live eternally somewhere, the vast, vast majority, it ain't even close, majority of your life is going to take place after this one. So we have to be ready. We must prepare. Only a fool, remember last week we were talking about the wise and the fool and the rocks and the sand, and right? Only a fool would waste what little time we have here not preparing for eternity that never ends somewhere. And so we prepare for two realities. The first one is earthly death. A couple of realities, just throwing these out there. First one is earthly death, and none of us knows the day. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. It comes and goes, like the grass withers and it's over. Here for a moment and then gone. The second reality, so physically die. Second reality is Jesus could come again before this natural earthly life ends. And so there's no guarantees for tomorrow. But if Jesus comes again, please understand we will not know the day or the hour. Is what Jesus says. We keep spending our time trying to figure out when Jesus is coming instead of trying to figure out how to be prepared for him to come. Let's prepare, because we don't know when it will be. So Jesus tells us it is wise to prepare for eternity today, because our earth life will end, we'll stand before God, and we'll be accountable for the life that we have lived. Matthew 25:13 says, so you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. He makes it very clear. You don't know, you won't know. That's our memory verse, by the way. You should take time for that. We don't know when we will leave this earth, so we must be prepared today. So to say, you know what, I think I'll just wait a little while before I make that decision, is foolish. It's foolish. Today is the day to prepare. Number two, what I do in this life determines where I will spend eternity. What I do in this life. These are four truths about eternity. The second one is what I do in this life determines where I will spend eternity. What I do in this life will determine where I spend eternity. You know, there are many opinions out there about how we get into heaven. There are many opinions about what happens when life ends. More of them are inaccurate than accurate, according to the one who holds eternity, anyway. Many believe that their eligibility for heaven lies in their goodness. As long as I'm good, as long as I'm gooder than the next person, then I'm okay. I'm pretty sure God grades on a curve, and as long as I'm not awful, I'll make it into heaven. If you've heard the phrase, we all go to a better place. I'm like on a campaign right now to stop people from saying that. Because we all go to a better place gives false security. We all go to a better place. As politely and as kindly as you can, don't be a jerk about it, please. And I'm trying to find ways not to be a jerk. When I hear people say, we all go to a better place, and people have heard that so many times that they just believe it. When I hear, we all go to a better place, I'm trying to find polite ways to say, do you believe that? Yeah. Based on what? Where do you find that? Where is the solid standard on that to say, this is true because? Because it's not. Because it's not. And Jesus was very clear in this parable of 10 bridesmaids. We don't all go to a better place, even if we're gooder. Because those 5 bridesmaids who were foolish, they were trying to be good. In Jesus' parable, the bridesmaids knew the groom was coming. 5 were prepared, 5 were not. And the choice to not prepare is what prevented the foolish bridesmaids from making it into the banquet, the wedding feast. They missed it. You know, in some way, your choice about what you do with Jesus in this life will determine where you spend eternity. If you believe Jesus died on a cross for your sins and his rising from death confirmed that he is who he says he is, that we have eternal life in a resurrected body like he showed his followers. If you ask Jesus to become Lord and leader of your life, you'll be saved. If we repent and turn from our sins, if I lay down my right to myself and take up a cross, Jesus, I want to do it this way, but no more. I have pride, I have arrogance, and I think it should be like this, but I'm not Lord and I'm not God. So now I'm laying down my rights to myself and I'm saying, let's just do what you want. Whatever that is. Even if it doesn't look like what I thought it would look like. Even if it isn't what I just want. I'll trust you. I'll trust you. But if you reject Jesus as Lord and leader of your life and attempt to get into heaven by being a good person, you're going to be shut out of heaven just like those five bridesmaids. And he's going to say, I don't know you. You can't come in. And so when we die, the Bible says there is separation. There's separation physically and spiritually. Physically, death separates life from my body. It no longer has life in it. It doesn't have breath. The blood's not pumping. It's done. And so there's separation of life from my body. We're separated, but then death also separates. And when I die, I'm now separated from my loved ones who still live. The Bible also speaks of a spiritual separation, an eternal separation from God. If I'm not prepared, I'm not going to be with God, which means I'm going to be in hell. Very clear. And Jesus tells this parable. He talks about heaven and hell very clearly. And let me just do another short parable and then we'll wind it down. But he tells another parable about death and physical and spiritual separation. It's the story of a rich man who was selfish and was not prepared for eternity at all. And then about a poor man named Lazarus, who was, he was prepared. This is from the book of Luke, Luke 16:22 through 26. Jesus is speaking and he's continuing the story. He says, finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. There's that banquet again. See, like the bridesmaids, there's that heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried. And he went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. By the way, Abraham is representing, in this parable, God. Okay? So he saw Abraham in the distance. Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames. You know what Jesus just told us? The kingdom of heaven is like this, and the kingdom of hell is like this. Like a drop of water is what you're pleading for, because you're in anguish all the time for eternity. Verse 25. But Abraham said to him, Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there. Like Abraham, representing God, saying, there's no crossover. You had your chance. And it was in this life. Before you died, in this life, you had opportunities. Did you take them? What we do in this life determines your eternity. And like the rich man, once you're dead, it is too late. It is too late to prepare. It's too late to get ready. It's pretty final. Preparation happens in this life. If you're separated from God in this life, you will be separated from God in the next life. And that's for eternity. But Pastor Stan, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were Christians. We went to church. So? Just because your parents or grandparents were followers of Jesus does not mean that you are. And I'm finding that it's not good enough for my faith to be just like my parents. God's creative. He's got a faith journey for me, Stan. He's got a faith journey for my wife, Sarah. He's got a faith journey for our daughters. He's got a faith journey for you. He had a different faith journey for my mom and my dad. He's creative. He does different things with different people. But he is consistent, and he is who he says he is, and we can trust him. You need to have your own faith. And like the 10 bridesmaids and the rich man and Lazarus, you have to choose in this life before it's too late. Who will I follow? Who will I surrender to? Are you prepared for eternity? Have you placed your trust in Jesus to save you from your sin and the cross? Are you following him? Are you paying attention to what he teaches? Are you obedient to his word? Because he says clearly, those who are obedient to my word are the ones who love me. And it matters that we love him and show him. Or are you procrastinating and in getting ready? Yeah, someday, you know, I'll come back to that Jesus thing, but I'm kind of busy with my own stuff right now. Are you trying to copy your parents or just be good enough? Those things don't work. The rich man and Lazarus teach us something else too. Number three is this. Time is running out to tell others about Jesus. Time is running out to tell others about Jesus. Time is running out to tell others about Jesus. Listen, what you do in this life determines where you will spend eternity. One more time, let's read number three. Time is running out to tell others about Jesus. But what you do in this life determines where you will spend eternity. But that's not where your faith journey ends. That's not it. It's not just about you. Once you choose to follow Jesus and prepare for your eternity, Jesus wants you to help others do the same. I will teach you to be fishers of people. I want you to go into all the world and make disciples. I'm guiding you. Love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this the world will know you're my disciples. You need to go to others. It becomes your primary mission in life. Grow in my faith. Share it with others. Grow in my faith. Share it with others. I got to grow in my faith. Why? So I'm comfortable, so I make it to eternity? No, so I can share it with other people. It becomes my life mission. This whole life from birth to death is a mission trip. That's why God puts people in your life who are not following Jesus. It's not so you can look down on them and say, well, I'm better than you. Uh-uh. There's people in your life that you have a hard time getting along with and you can't figure out why they live the way they do. Why? It's intentional on God's part, so they have a chance to see some light. That's us. The rich man figured this out, but it was too late. Luke 16, 27 through 29 says, then the rich man said, please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man realizes, I can't save myself, but can you go tell my brothers? Can you go tell my family members? Tell the ones that I love before it's too late for them. And he's in eternity. And the same will be true for us. It's too late. Once I take my last breath on this earth, I can't share the gospel with anybody else. Until I take my last breath on this earth, I can share the gospel with anyone else. Will I? The day will come when you can no longer help the people you love discover Jesus and follow him. Remember the bridesmaids? They ran to get more oil. It was too late. It was too late when they got back. Their opportunity was lost forever. The doors were locked. The bridegroom shouted, I never knew you. I don't know you. You have to stay out. As followers of Jesus, we are given opportunities all the time to share our faith with a family member, to invite somebody to come and worship. You wonder why we put that on our connection card almost every week, invite somebody to worship with you. Why? Because time is short. And if you don't muster the courage and say, I want you to come and worship with me, I want you to come hear some good news. If we don't do that, time is running out. And we're going to run out of oil and we're going to run out of time. We're going to be like Lazarus saying, somebody tell them, because I can't anymore. There's too much at stake for the people around us to not speak up and take every opportunity we have, not to preach at. How about to love one another? We'll do this more next week, but how about to love one another the way Christ loved us? To show them we care. To show them what Christ-likeness looks like. To show them how different it is from this world. We go and love and care about them. There's too much at stake for the people around us. It's eternal. Why did Jesus tell parables? To teach about eternity, so people could understand it. We have today, and this is the only life we have to share our faith and help others get into heaven. This is it. And so when you get to heaven, you will no longer be able to help your friends and family get there. It's just how it is. That's how Jesus says it is. Paul talks about his opportunities. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul says this, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." That is not your memory verse, but you should read that a few times. If you memorize it, bonus. But we should read that a few times. Life is worth nothing unless I use it. Unless you use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news. Just keep it simple. Love somebody who doesn't expect it. Care for somebody. Reach out. Think of others above yourself. I'm learning this too. I'm with you. And then invite them somewhere. Invite them somewhere they can hear it. Listen, this is difficult. It's not easy. It's not our normal, but it's God's normal. And invite others to a place where they can hear good news. Because if I don't share the good news, my life, as Paul would say, isn't worth anything. Number four, today is the day to prepare for your eternity. Today is the day to prepare for your eternity. The parables we've looked at today have shown there is no guarantee. Right? We looked at the bridesmaids, we looked at Lazarus and the rich man. I'm sorry, you're still writing down. Number four, today is the day to prepare for your eternity. Today is the day to prepare for your eternity. Today is the day because we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Today is the day to prepare for your eternity because tomorrow might come and now you don't have any more chances. Let's use today. If you've decided, hey, you know what, I'm just going to put it off for a little while. I'm going to live the way I want to for a while. I'm young. And some of you are young. Okay? I'm young. I've got plenty of time. There's nothing. It's fine. Everything will be fine. Are you sure? Because I'm not 100% sure when Jesus will come again. I'm not 100% sure what will happen to me in the next hour or the next day. Every time you say maybe later, you're falling for one of Satan's greatest tactics. Tell them they've got plenty of time. Just tell them. They got plenty of time, and Satan's just thrilled. You got plenty of time. You don't have to change now. You don't have to accept Jesus now. You don't have to follow him now. You don't have to surrender to him now. You don't have to lay down your rights to yourself. You have rights to your rights. Satan's greatest tactic. You got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. But we're reminded by God that today is the day. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul writes, "For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now." Today is the day of salvation. If you're waiting for the right time, fantastic. The right time is now. Now you don't have to wait any longer because we got the right time. Listen, I've heard all sorts of excuses for not following Jesus. Well, I got to get my life in order first. No, Jesus helps you get your life in order. Well, I'm good enough. I don't really need Jesus. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through me." Yeah, you do. You do need Jesus. Some are afraid of what their family or friends might think, and they're more concerned about what their family or friends might think than they are of following Jesus and starting to invite their family and friends to follow him too. I'm concerned about what they think, not what God thinks and what God knows about my eternity and theirs too. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Nowhere more important than in our eternities. Jesus has done everything necessary on the cross when the time is now. The right time has come. It's right now for us to believe and to follow. Jesus says this about himself, Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. He says, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like..." Here it is. "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." You know who the great pearl is? Jesus. "I'm going to sell everything else that I think I know and just follow him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to go after him." Are you prepared for eternity today? Turn from your sins. follow Jesus. Here's what it says, Acts chapter 16, verse 31. The beginning part says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. The time is right, right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thanks for your word that reminds us that you know better about eternity than we do. Remind us, you've got a satellite view. You can see the whole thing. We can't see much. Prepare us. Help us to pay attention. 10 bridesmaids. Lazarus and the rich man. You were very clear because the kingdom of heaven is like this. Help us not to delay any longer. But if we can from our hearts say this, let us say it. Jesus, I am a sinner and I fall short of your glory. I fall short of what you want. And I can't get myself there. I need your forgiveness that comes through your cross. I need it. I'm repenting of my sins and turning to you. I'm laying down my right to myself right now. I'm ready to follow you. Lord, help us to come humbly. As the prodigal son came back to his father, that we come humbly, not arrogantly. We don't deserve what you offer us, Jesus, but we humbly come and we thank you for your grace, your forgiveness, your guidance in our lives from now on. You get to be Lord, you get to be King. We'll follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Glad you have been with us today as we are winding down. We're not quite done. We got another week of summer school. Okay, so we got a little more to go. But glad you've been with us today. If you have made a decision to follow Jesus today, let us know. Mark it on your card somehow. I'm following Jesus. I'm not putting it off any longer. Let's not. All right, next week we're winding down. Oh, don't forget to tear off that connection card, drop in the basket. First-time guest, don't forget to grab that book, Unshakable, before you get out of here. Take a next step. Do that. Offering envelope, you can drop it in the same place, plate or basket, the back of your worship space. Next week, we continue with summer school. We're actually wrapping it up, talking about radical compassion. We're talking about it because Jesus taught it. We'll see you next week.